today at firstamendmentradio.com.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom, a discount gold and silver trading company, has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Welcome once again to what I call American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner speaking to you on the 17th of February 2005, one day into the implementation of the entry into force of the Kyoto Protocol. That is what's going on now at this stage of the game. A few things from the newspaper before I get into some very revealing information that some of you sent me. And I do appreciate that. We've got to work together to expose what's going on, the manipulative process. And it's the U.N. system, the State Department implementing the U.N. system. It's just when you do the research, you see it all. You understand Agenda 21. You see how large it is. And it's very easy to wake people up now because you just ask them, why would something so large as Agenda 21 be such a secret to the world? Very simple. It's never been a better time in human history to wake up America to the deception that we live today. And yes, there's many deceptions going on, but the major deception right now is the UN system and its implementation process. The coalition in the Middle East, which is the revisiting of Vietnam, because you don't know who your enemy is. The reason Vietnam fell is the fact of the matter is when we left, soon after, we stopped supplying bullets for the South Vietnamese guns. Bottom line, they didn't have the weapons to defend themselves as the Soviet Union and Communist China supplied North Vietnam with their weaponry and tanks. But we stopped supplying South Vietnam with their weaponry the ability to feed their weapons, to defend themselves. And what's going to happen in this Middle East mess that we're in now? Well, certainly, right on the front page, Beirut mourners shout slogans against Syria. Here we have another situation of creating sides of a situation. And out of Lebanon, in an unprecedented outpouring of grief and anger, mourners shouted Syria out as they crowded Beirut streets Wednesday to bury their former Prime Minister, Rafik Hariri. Lebanon's pro-Syrian president stayed away, warned not to come by Hariri supporters who blame Damascus for his death. And need I go further? Here we see Iran and Syria to partner. Iran and Syria said they will be forming a united front alliance to confront threats against them. Both countries are under U.S. economic sanctions and are the targets of intense American pressure. But keep in mind, Israel has weapons of mass destruction that we went into Iraq to obliterate Iraq from their ability to have weapons of mass destruction, supposedly, which has never been found. Of course, they could have moved them. We always have to document where we go at this stage of the game. And here we see Israel reports Iran nukes. Israeli officials reported that Iran will have a nuclear weapon within 2 years. Iran denies seeking nuclear weapons, saying its nuclear program is used to generate electricity. The bottom line is Iran is allied with Russia. Russia could supply them with mobile rocket launchers, and then they're prepared with their weaponry. Iran targets U.S. drones. Iran confirmed U.S. spy drones were flying over an area near a nuclear facility and threatened to shoot down the unmanned surveillance craft. Was that the kind of craft that went and hit the Pentagon that was painted like an airliner on September 11, 2001? I don't know, but it sure makes sense because the damage that was created in the Pentagon did not show any kind of indication that a 757, I believe it was, airliner hit the Pentagon. No debris, no luggage, no body parts to speak of. And certainly the information from Popular Mechanics for the March edition is very interesting to behold. It's a cover-up. It's a cover-your-butt piece, if you know what I mean. Here we see blast spikes oil prices, an explosion in southwestern Iran, where a nuclear facility is located, prompted fears of a U.S. or Israeli attack. Oil prices spiked, and U.S. and Israeli officials denied involvement. So you see what's being generated here, the creation of a major Middle East mess, which could lead to World War III, as has been foretold by certain people in the know, including Albert Pike way back in 1870. Albert Pike, what a piece of work he must have been. So on the back page, page 17 of the Oklahoman, I see today from Kyoto, Japan, the Global Warming Pact went into force Wednesday, 7 years after it was negotiated. The treaty sets limits on emissions of carbon dioxide and other gases. Sign is blame for rising world temperatures, melting glaciers, rising oceans, and disrupted weather patterns. The United States, the world's largest emitter of such gases, refused to ratify the pact, saying it would harm the economy and is flawed by the lack of restrictions on emissions by emerging economies, China and India. And there's no reason to debate that. That is a bottom line fact, as our industry has gone to China in many respects. Sad commentary to have. In the Iraq and the War on Terrorism section in the back of the page, secret vote needed for Iraqi nominee. And come on, people. Where is this going to lead us? More of a mess. More of a confusing mess for most of the people in this country. That is a sad commentary to have at this stage of the game. So the U.S. military reported that a U.S. soldier assigned to the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force was killed in action Tuesday in western Iraq, and that two American soldiers died in a non-hostile vehicle accident Wednesday in northern Babil province. U.S. forces also clashed Wednesday with insurgents in Ramadi and Samarra, and militants attacked American convoys with bombs in the northern city of Mosul, damaging a military vehicle. Several people were injured, witnesses said. The bodies of eight Iraqis, described as collaborators with U.S. forces, were found in a desert area north of Baghdad as well. So this Middle East mess is getting messier, and it's a sad tragedy to experience this, in my opinion, because the 20th century was full of these created crises, I'm sorry to say. Ever since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, we've had nothing but wars and loss of lives. Ever since the creation of the UN system, we've had more wars than any time in human history. And that is a sad, sad commentary to have, I guarantee you on that. Regarding the UN system and the five-pointed upside-down star, I'm going to give you a website which we're going to put on the, and if Darren's listening tonight, he'll probably stick this thing up immediately, if not sooner, if he's able, because this one is telling. And one of you good listeners out there sent it to me, and that's what I like the most, because this is not just me. This is everyone's problem. This is everyone's direction, and it certainly connects to the UN system. It's called Environmental Management Exchange and Resource Alliance for Local Development, EMERALD, E-M-E-R-A-L-D, EMERALD, E-M-E-R-A-L-D, EMERALD, Environmental Management Exchange and Resource Alliance for Local Development. And what you see here in this five-pointed star at the tips of each of the 5 points, which is pointing upside down, you have the UNEP, the UN Environment Program. And you have Murdoch University and other ones, too. And I just clicked to the UN Environment Program, Division of Technology, Industry, and Economics. And this is opening up for me. As I see here in the paper, the Norman section of the Oklahoman I-35 loop to Turnpike gets another look. This is part of this massive highway system that I covered some weeks ago from the Oklahoman that was verifying what I've been talking about regarding the NAFTA corridors, listeners. Although it talks about a proposed outer loop connecting Interstate 35 to the Kilpatrick Turnpike stalled in 2002, after significant controversy, mayors from Moore, Norman, and Oklahoma City are revisiting the proposal. Moore Mayor Glenn Lewis said Wednesday Moore officials still oppose the outer loop that would reroute traffic away from the city. The proposed route would allow traffic to exit I-35 just north of Indian Hills Road and connect to Interstates 44 and 40, as well as the Turnpike, which doesn't mean much to you listeners, I understand. Let me go to the meat and potatoes of the controversy. Numerous residents from all three cities strongly objected when the proposal was unveiled in 2002. Lewis said at least 8% of I-35 traffic would be diverted around Moore if the loop is built. The road also could disrupt high-dollar home developments in Moore and around Oklahoma City, he said. So this I-35 loop, apparently, according to people I've talked to in the past, is interconnected to this NAFTA corridor system, this mega superhighway that I covered some weeks ago, which is going to go alongside I-35. And it just goes to show how things are being directed and developed slowly but surely. This quarter-mile-wide highway is going to have four lanes for cars, four lanes for trucks, two railroad lines. It's going to have utility lines. And what I see this as regards to the ultimate Rewilding America project and the biodiversity treaty, the road removal that will be involved in the long-term project of the 21st century, part of Agenda 21, and eventually we'll be on our feet. And that's what this Kyoto Protocol is all about. Now back to EMERALD. One of the points of the five-pointed star, which is upside down, pointed upside down, and I'll be giving you that website, listeners. You see from the United Nations Environment Program, Division of Technology, Industry, and Economics, in International Environmental Technology Center, listeners, it says Environment Technology, the IETC and disaster management. You learn about that. You learn about environmental management and disaster preparedness. Lessons learned from the Tokyo typhoon of, Typhoon 23 of 2004, it says, in Japan. Proceedings of the workshop on lake management. You'll see environmental citizenship, an introductory guidebook for building partnerships between citizens and local governments for environmental sustainability. You'll learn about this. Integrated watershed management. Oh, yes, that's there as well. In news, you'll learn about environmental news emerging from wreckage from Asian tsunami. You'll learn about global trade and carbon emissions, likely to be a $44 billion annual industry by 2010. In the news section, you'll also learn UN's Kyoto Treaty against global warming in force. Earth spinning out of control, another article. Japan caught napping on emissions curbs. You learn about events. You will learn about, from 7 to 9 March 2005, the Biennial Groundwater Conference. You learn about what is going to happen in June, from the 11th to the 16th, 2005, the 5th International Symposium on Management of Aquifer Recharge. In July of 2005, the 5th through the 7th, the 6th Annual Congress, Global Construction, Ultimate Concrete Opportunities. Then, following in July 26th through the 29th of 2005, the 2005 Children's World Summit for the Environment from ASI, Japan. Then you will learn about Sustainable Building 2005, which will be from September 27th to the 29th of 2005. Much going on in this one pinnacle point of the five-pointed star from Emerald, listeners, the International Environmental Technology Center of the United Nations Environment Program. And certainly I am not going into any detail because this is a one-hour broadcast now. I'm on 2 days a week, as Darren has the other 2 days, and Melody Cedarstrom, Discount Gold and Silver Trading, has Monday night, my partner and sponsor that I want to keep. 800-375-4188. Write that number down for Melody Cedarstrom and Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 800-375-4188. So that is my week. Melody on Monday, Darren on Tuesday, me on Wednesday and Thursday, and Darren back on Friday. Very important to hear Darren's voice and Melody's directions as well. So we've covered the UNEP, the one point of the five-pointed pentagram described in Emerald, Environmental Management Exchange and Resource Alliance for Local Development. And certainly I'm bypassing certain information to do this tonight, but I will give you certain directions as I can from my good ally Dennis as well. But you've got to hear this. I've got to give you this direction because it's very, very revealing. It's in your face. It's the five-pointed star pointed upside down, which is just like the Congressional Medal of Honor, listeners, the five-pointed star upside down. For gallantry, the highest medal of valor for gallantry and military service that we've ever given, the Congressional Medal of Honor, an upside-down five-pointed star, just like Emerald. So the next point is the Murdoch University Environmental Technology Center. And this is from Perth, Western Australia. And there's much to learn here about this. And you'll learn about Remote Area Developments Group. The RADG was established in 1985 to investigate the problems of small communities in remote areas of Australia and to develop appropriate technologies to solve those problems. Key areas of R&D, and I would believe R&D would be research and development, include appropriate technology for water supply and sanitation, revegetation, bush food, and communications. The RADG is a founding member of the Indigenous Design Collaborative, the IDC, and a partner of the Desert Knowledge CRC. Indigenous Design Collaborative. You have to keep in mind the UN system is a worldwide implementation force. And you have to keep in mind the other countries involved in this as well, as ours is too. And you learn all sorts of different directions going on from this group, from Murdoch University. So I give you that direction as well. So we covered the UNEP, Murdoch University. Now we go to the UEMRI, that's the UEMRI, and see what that comes up with. We'll learn about Urban Environmental Management, Global Development Research Center. Isn't this amazing? So what can we do with urban environments, since they are starting points for most global environment problems? And solutions? Why is it important? And you'll learn all sorts of different directions here as well. Quite interesting. They talk about emerald. They talk about sapphire, which we've covered as well. The UEMRI is part of the Sapphire Initiative. The UEMRI is part of the Emerald Initiative. These are directions that are on the website. Some of them are. Some of them will be there. It'll all be there very, very soon. And it's most important to understand about this UEMRI framework for policy and practice, urban environments, in order to develop an effective response to the myriad range of challenges facing urban environments today. The UEMRI team has developed a framework to tackle these and related issues in the formulation of policy and practice of urban environmental management. The framework has also largely guided the development of this website. The basic aim of this framework is threefold: to develop awareness and educate on issues related to urban environments, to assist in policy and program development, and to facilitate monitoring and evaluation. The target audience of this framework is kept broad to increase its utility value. Government agencies, planners and planning bodies, NGOs, donor agencies, community groups, academics, etc. The framework is presented as a series of statements. Each statement is briefly explained and is supported by resources available in the UEM homepage. You learn about urban environments pose a challenge for effective distribution and management of global resources. What is that all about, listeners? Think about that. Urban environments pose a challenge for effective distribution and management of global resources, as illustrated in the numbers section. The density and population of today's cities necessitates the equitable distribution of resources that are needed for its various activities. It is therefore necessary to understand the effects of an urban area not only within its immediate boundaries, but also in the region and country it is positioned due to the large amount of resources necessary to sustain it. Keep in mind there's a whole chapter devoted to technology transfer in Agenda 21. There's various chapters devoted to distribution of wealth in Agenda 21. They talk about balancing acts. There's a need to strike a balance between natural and built environments and between ecological and economic objectives. Visioning. Where have we heard that before, listeners? There is a need to develop a structure of goal/visions and a methodology to achieve it in order to identify the action that has to be taken. And then we deal with action plans. Steps need to be taken that are relevant in the short term in order to gain wider acceptability, keeping long-term goals in mind. See, this whole point is all about urban governance, listeners. Urban governance, just like global governance. As I've said before, the two books that everyone should have is the book entitled Our Global Neighborhood by the UN System, written in 1995, and the book entitled United Nations Global Straitjacket by Joan Vion, written in 1999. Those are two books which work hand in hand with each other. And they're right here next to me. It's just two books together, and I keep them together because they work together, exposing and dominating one or the other. So we learn about urban governance. And simply put, governance is the science of decision-making. The concept of governance refers to the complex set of values, norms, processes, and institutions by which society manages its development and resolves conflict, formally and informally. It involves the state, but also the civil society at the local, national, regional, and global levels. There's much research to do here. I'll be giving you the website of this direction as I'm concluding with it, but we still have two more to cover of the five-pointed star. And we're learning about Emerald, Environmental Management Exchange, and Resource Alliance for Local Development. And we learn about Regional Institute of Environmental Technology. That's the Regional Institute of Environmental Technology. And what is the symbol of them? Oh, what do you call it? The yin and the yang, I believe it is. The yin and the yang. Ah, what is that? As I go to my resource book, if I can get it quickly enough. Not yet. Don't want to waste too much time on this. So let's just wait for the commercial pause, and I'll try. I think it's the yin and the yang, I believe it is. You learn about this other pointed star, other point of the five-pointed star, and it's Regional Institute of Environmental Technology. And you learn about training, membership, EHS updating service, looking for environmental health and safety legislation updates for Southeast Asia. So this is a big picture in place here. This Emerald Environmental Management Exchange and Resource Alliance for Local Development, which is the upside-down five-pointed star, you'll see it. The last of the five-pointed star of these groups, which were, once again, the first one was the UNEP, the UN Environment Program, International Environmental Technology Center. The second was from Murdoch University, the Environment Technology Center from Murdoch University. And then you have the UEMRI, the Urban Environmental Management Research Initiative. Then you have the Regional Institute of Environmental Technology, the RIET. Last but not least, City Solutions Network, a practical guide for mayors, managers, and community leaders. What is that called in America today? I believe it's called Communities 21. I believe that's what it's called, as I'm waiting for this to come up, and we should be going to break very shortly. This Agenda 21 direction is gigantic, and that's why it's so important for people to understand what this is. And I say again, if you want to expose this to people, just tell them to go to the Google search engine, punch in Agenda 21, and see how big it is, and ask the question, why has it been kept such a secret for so long, from so many? I'll give you that website upon my return so you can write it down before it gets on the website, AmericanExpose.com. Get your pencils and papers handy at the conclusion of the break.
going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
What animal cannot be harmed by even the deadliest snakes in the world? Find out next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
The mongoose is a superb snake fighter. That little creature is about 3 feet long and weighs about 10 pounds. In many parts of the world, a mongoose is kept as a house pet because they keep the snake population down, and this includes some of the most poisonous snakes in the world. One of the most amazing features of the mongoose is its ability to walk away from a snake bite. Even if a cobra bites a baby mongoose, the baby mongoose is not in the least affected by the venom. And this is because the mongoose has venom antibodies in its bloodstream and nervous system. Scientists studying mongoose behavior have found that even a mongoose that has been raised by humans and has never seen a snake instinctively knows how to effectively attack and kill a snake on sight. The mongoose's size, shape, and speed all show it to be perfectly designed for killing snakes. Its amazing ability to ignore snake venom and its internal programming that allows mongoose to be an effective snake killer and a friend to man certainly shows the power and wisdom of the Creator. Now, if he can make a creature such as the mongoose to protect humans from earthly serpents, we know that he is also able to provide us with protection from that old serpent, the devil, through his son, Jesus Christ.
Creation Moments exist to glorify God by presenting scientific evidence for the literal truth of the Bible. For more information, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And join us again for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government printed currency is not. Call Melody Cedarstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call. 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. Go to the website, American Exposé, and understand what's going on there. And certainly this new edition will be brought on the website. That website address is www.urban, that's www.urban-emerald.net. Very important for you to witness this and the description of these five different organizations, of which City Solutions Network would not come up for me, the fifth one. So hopefully it'll come up for you. But this is Emerald, people. And the website, once again, is www.urban-emerald.net. U-R-B-A-N, urban-emerald, E-M-E-R-A-L-D.net. And that's the Environmental Management Exchange and Resource Alliance for Development. Emerald is an internet portal that assists urban managers in taking everyday decisions to manage their local environment. Very, very interesting. Now, the R-I-E-T, the Regional Institute of Environmental Technology, the symbol of this organization is the yin and the yang symbol. And apparently, according to Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated by Dr. Kathy Burns, the yin and the yang symbol can be seen almost any place one looks. It is used in logos, on book covers, in the New Age movement, in the martial arts, and so forth. Quote, yin and yang are considered to be opposites. Yin represents eternity, dark, feminine, left side of the body, etc. Yang is its opposite and represents history, light, masculine, right side of the body, etc., end quote. Quote, yang is male, positive, and represented by the sun. Yin is female, negative, and represented by the moon, end quote, says Paul E. Dusaltals in the Jim Kingdom. Quote, the symbol itself dates back at least to the 4th century B.C. and has been identified with the Eastern philosophical religions of Confucianism, Buddhism, and Taoism. In the Western world, it has long been adopted into the symbolism of mirth or myth, magic, astrology, and witchcraft, end quote. Amazing, people. Some amazing information sent to me by some of you out there, and it's most welcome. A book, Black Magic, White Magic, explains the yin-yang like this. Quote, another ancient magical sign called the yin and yang first appeared sometime before the 3rd century B.C. in China. This emblem became a favorite of sorcerers and mystics throughout the Orient because it, too, embodies so many possible meanings, end quote. One well-known witch, Sybil Leek, who is called the Mistress of the Occult, proclaims the yin and yang theory is, quote, an idea that inspired such things as Chinese boxing, breath control, used in yoga, meditation, etc., the use of special herbs, and some rather exotic sexual exercises designed to nourish the yang with the yin, end quote. She adds, quote, crucial to Taoism is the idea of yin and yang, end quote. Quote, according to the ancient Chinese philosophers, in the beginning was Tao, but then Tao separated into the two prime principles, yin and or yang and yin, and from the many combinations of yang and yin, everything else that is in the world has emerged. Yang and yin produce the five elements, which are metal, wood, fire, water, and earth. Everything in life is in a constant state of flux. In fact, the only thing that you can be sure of is that it will change, end quote. There's much more to this yin and yang symbol, but you get the picture in a certain degree, and you can do your own research into the yin and yang, which is a symbol, once again, of the Regional Institute of Environmental Technology, which is the bottom of the five-pointed star, illustrated by EMERALD, Environmental Management Exchange and Resource Alliance for Development. It's an internet portal that assists urban managers in taking everyday decisions to manage their local environment. Amazing information, people. That website, one more time, which will be on our website as soon as Darren has the time to do so, www.urban-emerald.net. And I've only barely scratched the surface on this website. Barely. So it needs all of our attention, listeners. I mean that from the bottom of my solar plexus. I mean it. We are in a messy, messy situation. Very messy. I'm going to try to cover some of this information that I received from Dennis tonight, which is very, very important. Tsunami victims to sue U.S. forecasters. This comes from alizera.com. And we'll try to get this up on the website as I can. This is dated the 15th of February, 2005. A group of Austrian and German victims of the massive tsunami that struck Asia on December 26th last year are planning to file a lawsuit against Thai authority, French hotel chain Accor, and U.S.-run tsunami early warning system in the Pacific, demanding them to prove they reacted properly to the disaster, the group's lawyers said on Tuesday. See how the word's getting out about the Hegelian dialectic, listeners? This wouldn't be happening if the rest of the world wasn't being clued in to the Hegelian dialectic, just like we are. The internet goes around the world. There's no telling how many people are really listening to this kind of broadcast that I'm doing. The group will file their suit in a New York district court this week, the lawyer said, in Vienna. And I wonder where the ICC is going to fit into this. I don't know. Quote, we found that serious lapses were committed, in quote, said Harwig Hirschlacher, one of the group's lawyers said. However, the group is not demanding compensation. It seeks uncovering evidence that would prove negligence. About 290,000 people lost their lives last December when a powerful earthquake off the Indonesian island of Sumatra sparked huge tsunami waves that devastated nearly 11 countries. And I ask, and I continue to ask, was that created? Was that an under the ocean, bottom of the ocean nuclear explosion? Are there other nuclear devices strategically placed around the globe to create these tidal waves called tsunamis now? It only makes sense to me, listeners, because that's how you have disaster. That's how you create World Heritage Sites. That's how you move populations to sustainable communities. That's why the Global Fire Monitoring Network is up and there and operating in the UN system, because they use fire to move populations as well. The documentation speaks for itself. They're never going to tell you this openly and outwardly that this is the case. While we're being diverted into the Middle East mess that was planned for long in advance, the movement of populations through natural disasters is being done. And the fact that this lawsuit has been established tells you something gigantic, people. Lawyers say the suit will be filed on behalf of 15 Austrian and 4 German victims of the disaster. The group is mainly targeting the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, in Washington, and its Hawaii-based Tsunami Warning Center. The French Accor group of hotels, where several Western tourists stayed, and the Thai government. According to the suit, the NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, is accused of failing to warn Indian Ocean countries of the merciless tsunamis, as the Hawaii Center covered only the Pacific. Interesting. And now they have the impetus to create more early warning scenarios for tsunamis in the future. Well, the next tsunami will be, you know, who knows how great it'll be. Apparently this one was a 9.0 earthquake that brought about this tsunami. And quote, here it is, we have evidence they did not warn us, even though they knew a quarter of an hour later about the strength and location of the quake, and although there is supposed to be a tsunami warning, end quote, from 6.5 on the Richter scale, Hirschlacher said. The point being that the earthquake was some hours before the tsunami hit these areas. And they said last December's quake measured 9.0. The group, moreover, accuses Accor chain of building its Sofitel Hotel in Khao Lak Resort in Thailand on a quake fracture line. Speaking at a news conference, Ed Fagan, a U.S. lawyer, said it'll ask a U.S. court to ensure that preservation of satellite imagery and contacts between the NOAA, NOAA, Thailand, and Indonesia documents, he says, will be needed in the case. Fascinating information regarding this situation. Sad, sad, sad commentary. So as we know, the Kyoto Protocol came into effect, came into force yesterday. And according to, well, let's see what the, couldn't find it. Well, maybe you can find it. Who knows here? Waiting for that to come up. Kyoto Pact takes effect without U.S. from the Los Angeles Times. Oh, yeah, they're a piece of work, the Los Angeles Times. I spent a lot of time looking at the Los Angeles Times in California. The Herald Examiner was much better, but it went out of business or was bought out. And that is a sad, sad situation because the Herald Examiner was a little better off than the LA Times. But then they, you know, they got the conglomeration of information. The Daily News was there, but that was controlled as well. Being out of California, it was a wonderful place to live, but it's been invaded by the third world on purpose by the UN system. That's why these immigration groups don't get the understanding of all this Hegelian dialectic being directed at us. Wars for national liberation, Aslan and Mecha. Apparently, according to certain sources, our new attorney general, Alberto Gonzalez, is a member of Aslan, which is very, very telling to what the UN system is going to be doing in the very, very near future. So according to the LA Times, nearly 8 years after it was negotiated, the Kyoto Protocol to curtail greenhouse gases believed to cause global warming goes into effect today without the participation of the country that produces roughly a fourth of the world's heat-tapping exhaust, the United States. Now, listeners, that is just pure hogwash when you can't understand what HARP does, when you can't understand what environmental modification does, when we're kept in the dark about weather modification, listeners, we have no way of determining how much of a Hegelian dialectic this is. A total of 140 countries have ratified the pact, the first major international effort to reduce the industrial emissions that many scientists believe are behind the increase in global temperatures during the last century. Oh, you've got to be joking. It makes no sense at all when the cars today have smog control devices on them that are very, very efficient. And the car manufacturers are mandated to do even more. A clean running automobile with clean oil in it is the key to a clean running automobile. If you don't service your vehicle, you're going to have problems by changing the oil and the liquids in the vehicle. You endure its life, you keep it running cleaner, and the heat caused by automobiles can't possibly be anywhere near the heat that is causing global warming, but yet we have HARP. We have environmental modification that connects to HARP. We have weather modification. We have underground facilities all over the world that aren't being disclosed to us. Why? And that is the discouraging part of all that we live today, listeners, is that we're being kept in the dark, but we can expose all these deceptions that are being done to us. We can expose them, listeners. We can make a big difference. It does make total sense to understand that we can make a difference. We can build on our knowledge. We can spread that information. And the easiest thing to do at this point in time, tell anyone that has a computer, go to their Google search engine, punch in Agenda 2-1, and see what they find. Because then you say to them, why is this such a secret to everyone? The greatest secret in the world, Agenda 21. That is very, very important, listeners. Very important. Because without our increasing numbers, and that's why I work with documentation on a constant basis, without increasing our numbers, we have no chance. That's why I do not get into a religion. The religion is opinion and belief, and everyone's entitled to their belief. And that is the bottom line. But getting people to understand the UN system, how it's totalitarianized us, and the UN system has its satanic beginnings and directions as well. That's why I gave you that information about Emerald tonight, because you see the satanic symbolism right there in Emerald. Here we see, dated February 17th today, listeners, Bush sees jobs at risk in climate treaty. Now, keep in mind, I have information that Al Gore has been chastising George Walker Bush about not implementing the Kyoto Protocol. I have information here tonight on that. I'll try to cover it before we close out this broadcast. But the Bush administration contends that the long-term benefit from the Kyoto Climate Treaty won't be worth the immediate economic cost. The conspicuous U.S. absence from the treaty limits its impact when it takes effect Wednesday. While the 35 participating industrial nations have committed to reducing carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, and other compounds to below levels of 1990, the United States is the single biggest source of greenhouse gases, according to this information. We are the bad guy, according to the U.N. system. We are the U.N. system because you look at the State Department and the U.S. mission to the United Nations. And you look at the State Department all over the globe, listeners. So President Bush agreed in 2000, in his 2000 campaign, to regulate carbon dioxide as a pollutant, but came to the view shortly afterward that its harm has yet to be scientifically established. There's nothing wrong with this, listeners. You can bash Bush all you want. But if you had Gore in office, look out. We would be in deeper trouble with Gore and Kerry. What can I say? I'm telling you the facts. Quote, we are still learning about the science of climate change, end quote, White House spokesman Scott McClellan said Tuesday. In the meantime, McClellan said, quote, we have made an unprecedented commitment to reduce the growth of greenhouse gas emissions in a way that continues to grow our economy, end quote. State Department spokesman Richard Boucher said the United States is devoting nearly $5.8 billion this year to scientific research, new technology, foreign aid, and tax incentives for non-polluting energy development. Well, isn't that comforting to know? $5.8 billion, listeners, from the State Department? What have I been talking about all these months? The State Department implements Agenda 21. The State Department has the Sustainable Development's partnership website. The State Department is behind all of this, as was, according to Ralph Epperson and his information from the Unseen Hand book, that the State Department were complacent in sending the wrong weapons to Chiang Kai-shek to take back China, which was taken over by communism when he was on the island of Formosa, which is called Taiwan today. The State Department, the key player in implementation of communist agenda. The infiltration of communism into the State Department was designed and implemented in the 1930s and 40s to take over the State Department. It was very, very important, according to certain sources, that the State Department had to be under communist control. Joan Vion said that the State Department went communist in 1960. Well, what happened after 1960? State Department Publication 7277, Freedom from War. Freedom from War. You've got to be joking. It's the Program for General and Complete Disarmament, including your personal firearms. That has not been eliminated. That will continue. That will move forward. So according to this article, all Boucher said are aimed at reducing greenhouse gases and their air pollutants while all improving energy security, reducing poverty, and promoting economic growth and development. Once again, the last paragraph states, State Department spokesman Richard Boucher said the United States is devoting nearly $5.8 billion this year to scientific research, new technology, foreign aid, and tax incentives for non-polluting energy development. And all Boucher said, are aimed at reducing greenhouse gases and their air pollutants while all improving energy security, reducing poverty, and promoting economic growth and development. In other words, what are we doing? We're implementing the Kyoto Protocol anyway, like I said before. The White House has contended that complying with the treaty's requirement could cost millions of jobs, and certainly we've lost millions of jobs already. Many of them to third world countries such as India and China, both signers of Kyoto, but exempted from any limits on greenhouse gases. There's the communist connection there, listeners. Communitarianism in America is the reinvented communism. Bush, quote, strongly opposes any treaty or policy that would cause the loss of a single American job, let alone nearly 5 million jobs Kyoto would have cost, end quote, says James Conanton, who heads the White House Council on Environmental Quality. Instead, the president unveiled a plan in 2002 to rely on voluntary measures by industry to slow the growth of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases going into the atmosphere, mainly from the burning of fossil fuels. It calls for the, quote, carbon intensity, end quote, the amount of greenhouse gases released as a percentage of economic growth, to fall 18% by 2012, or about 1.5% a year, about the same rate of reduction already occurring. Environmentalists complain there is no guarantee any of that will occur, and that even if it does, greenhouse gases released into the atmosphere will continue to increase. Oh, really? Well, I guess we just better get out of our cars and trucks and start walking, huh? Because that is the design of Agenda 21. That is the design of the Biodiversity Treaty. The biodiversity map is on the website now, AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K, on purpose, to make a statement. From the movie America that was put out in the 1980s, 1987, I believe, which starred Kris Kristofferson, America with a K, which most people don't even know ever existed because it was only played once on the television. And it's been snuffed under the rug. The movie America with a K was modeled after the book America with a K, which I have around here somewhere. This article continues, because of heavy reliance on coal to produce electricity and oil for transportation over the next two decades, U.S. carbon emissions are expected to increase an average of 1.5% a year between now and 2025. From 5 to 7.90 million tons in 2003 to 8.062 million tons in 2025, according to the Energy Department. I don't know how you can verify that with the smog devices on vehicles. Of course, with the immigration flooding into America the way it is, everybody floods into this country because nobody wants to leave this country because there's no country to leave to that is going to be to any benefit. Keep in mind also the Air Force chronology, owning the weather 2025. Of course, do we own the weather now in 2005? Former President Al Gore was a main participant in putting the Kyoto Accord together in 1997. Before then, however, the Senate went on record opposing some of the treaty's principles, including the idea of exempting developing nations from any of its targets. Quote, the evidence of this worsening crisis continues to mount, end quote, Gore said Tuesday, accusing the Bush administration of showing the world, quote, a stunning display of moral cowardice, end quote, and there you have it. Bottom line, the mess continues to increase. Do your research. Go to AmericanExpose.com. It's all there in quantities of you won't believe, listeners. And I'll talk to you next week. Listen to Darren Weeks tomorrow night, Melody Monday night, Darren again Tuesday night. I'll be back again next Wednesday night, and God bless all of you listeners, good night.
Be sure to listen to The Church at Cahuilla every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. and 11 a.m.